big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host. And this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm really excited because I have my friend Adam McLaughlin back, and I've actually tried to track him down for quite some time, but, you know, he's on the road, and road warriors, they're hard to track down. But I've got Adam back, and we're going to be talking about Easter, and more importantly, about how you prepare effectively for Easter, and then also how you follow up effectively for Easter, because he's got a cool new checklist out that will help you get organized. Now, and even if you're listening, you're like, oh, man, Easter's just a few weeks away. What can I do? Well, there are still things that you can do, and Adam and I talk about it. So really excited to have him on the podcast talking about Easter. It is one of the biggest events of the year for churches and for ministries. So we kind of talk through his checklist and see how it directly applies to you and your ministry. So without any further ado, let's get in the interview right now talking to Adam McLaughlin about Easter preparation and follow-up. All right, with me right now is Adam McLaughlin. It's been months trying to track you down. Where in the world are you today?
Well, today I am in sunny Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Is it really sunny there? Like, can it ever be sunny in Las Vegas?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit cool today. It's about 68, should be about 72. But besides that, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm looking outside my window right now, and it is a sleet snow mix right now, so I wish I was in your area. You've got short sleeves on. I've got a jacket on.
So. Yeah. Well, as you know, I'm a recovering Canadian, so I spent 30 years in Canadian winters. Yeah. I deserve a few off.
Yeah, see, I could totally get that. I don't think I've ever told you this, but there is a podcast I listen to called Someone Knows Something. And it's by a Canadian guy from CBC Radio.
Okay, yeah.
His name is David Ridgen. And I always think of you when I think of Canada. And there, someone knows something. It's all about these cold cases in Canada. So he never solves the crime, though. That's the one disappointing thing. He's got great stuff. He just never solves the crime. So.
Yeah. And Canada is notorious for only going halfway.
Oh, God. Well, okay, Adam, what have you been up to lately? I see you around. You're definitely very active. What are you guys doing right now?
Yeah, so my wife and I, for the listeners who don't know, my wife and I have been traveling since for the last 9 months or so, and traveling full-time, visiting churches with our three boys. They're 9, 7, and 5 years old. That's a whole other story. Living in a travel trailer, living out of our SUV, basically. Yes. And so far, we've visited 22 churches. So we've been a first-time guest at 22 churches in the last 9 months. And actually, we have another one lined up for this Sunday. So it's been a pretty cool experience just to see different expressions of the church. And also along the way, obviously, we get to see the sights, and today we're in Vegas. So
yeah, there, I mean, you're going to take the kids all out. You should go late night out on at Las Vegas. I'm sure that'd be great for your kids.
Yeah, that'll be a healthy experience. We are going to take them down the strip at night, but we'll probably mostly stay in the car just to see the lights and the views. We might stop and, you know, see something specifically, but yeah, we're definitely not going to wander.
Yeah. Hey, well, I know you've been blogging some stuff. I know you've been doing some interviews. I know you've been very active, as you've been doing your traveling. What's one thing that is kind of stood out to you amongst all the churches that you've visited? Is there one common thing that they all do or they all don't do that you're surprised about?
Yeah. So, I think there are, once you've been to 22 churches, it's hard to say this one did one thing that nobody else does.
Right.
And it's also difficult to say I've been to 22 churches and they all do this properly. Okay. So the interesting thing is that, you know, everybody's unique and everybody's different, and in all different cultures and locations. You know, a church of 500 people in New York City is going to do something really different than a church of 500 people in New Orleans. And it's just, it's really cool to see all that kind of stuff. But, you know, one of the big things that we look for is signage, because if a church sign, if church doesn't have signs in place, it's kind of like them saying, it's kind of like them admitting, you know what? We didn't realize there would be somebody who's never been to our building before, right? Like, yeah. At least consider that you might have somebody who's going to be at your church for the first time and doesn't know their way around and get some really good signage.
Yeah.
But, you know, the return on investment on that is specifically for your first time guests, because, yeah. You know, the second time I visit a church, I probably already know where the auditorium is and I could probably already find my way to the restroom. So for the most part, your signage is for your first time guests. If you don't have good signage that's really clear, it's kind of like saying, yeah, we weren't really anticipating having a visitor today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very interesting. Well, yeah, I know a lot of your postings, and you've been blogging on your site, and you've also been blogging on church banners a lot. And so it's really interesting to hear your insights on this, because I truthfully, I believe in signage and all that stuff, and I think it's important, but it's really, your insights are really, really cool on that. So I think those are awesome.
Yeah, we walked into, I'll give you a quick example. We walked into a church, and we were standing, basically the front door led to a hallway, and there's right and left. We saw nobody in sight. There was no signage. We had no idea where to go next, so we just guessed. I mean, like, we didn't know where to check the kids in or where to go to the auditorium. And the guy who opened the door for us, he goes, hey, it's so great to have you today. Thank you for coming for the first time. I said, yeah. Thanks. And then when I walked in the door, I look back to him and I said, where do I take our kids? And he goes, oh, I don't know. I don't have kids. And he let the door close behind him. And the point that I'm making is not to bash that church, but the point that I'm making is you can have somebody who's really on point, who's really welcoming, who makes us feel at home. And then the experience drops off from there. Right. So it is about the entire picture and walking through with fresh eyes. And, you know, sometimes as churches, we just can't do that because, you know, how many times have you walked into your own house and you don't see, you know, the nick on the wall, whereas somebody walks in for the first time and that's all they see. Right. Yeah. So it's one of those things.
Well, it's the same thing that you think, you know, you walk into your house, you know exactly where the bathroom is. You've been there a million times, but then as person visiting your house are like, hey, where's the bathroom? Can I go? And I'm like, oh, it's right there, like right over there. And they're like, where? And you have to like, and so that's so important. I think you're right on that. And actually, this is a pretty good transition because we're talking about Easter, and Easter, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of big things that happen during Easter, and signage is one of those things that you need to make sure that you're taking care of. But you actually have a checklist, the Easter launch or the Easter checklist.
Yes.
And so that you have out, and you actually have your own Facebook group, you know, the Easter Facebook group. Talk to me a little bit about, let's talk about your Facebook group real quick.
Okay.
Why did you start this Easter marketing Facebook group?
Yeah. So one of the things that I found is that as our Facebook groups are growing larger, the variety of topics gets more and more diverse.
Yes.
And the interesting thing about that for me is that what if you really want to narrow down on a specific topic, or what if you're really interested in a certain topic and somebody posts about that, but because there's, you know, hundreds of people in the group, you don't necessarily catch that somebody posted about the topic you were looking for. Anyway, roundabout idea was, what if we created a group that is intended to be temporary, so it only is going to run until the end of April 2019, and it's specific to church marketing for Easter. So if you want to find out about Easter church marketing, this is the group to ask that question. We're not talking about all the other topics that are important to us or things that are important the rest of the year. So it's a little bit of an experiment to see how it goes to have a temporary group and have a hyper-focus group. But some of the conversation in there has been really helpful and obviously really targeted towards helping people make the most of their Easter this year.
Yeah, I really do love it that you've honed in on the Easter time period. I will say this, this is a little bit different but very similar at the same time, is our best Bible study, online Bible study groups that we do on Facebook for my online campus, are the ones that are centered around Easter or Thanksgiving or Christmas. When you're doing it, we do it, we call them a countdown to Easter, countdown to Christmas. If I want them to join a regular online life group, it's hard to get them to do that. But Easter, man, I've got them focused. We're focused on Easter. And that's what I love about your group is it's focused on Easter. And there's lots of great stuff that's being shared about. So I'll include the link on it. I think it was a great idea. And I hope you continue to do that throughout the year with different opportunities, because it's really important to hone in on that.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. You know, I'm working with Ryan Hulk from graphics.church on that Easter church marketing group. So, you know, if it goes well, then Cat might be out of the bag. We might do something else a little bit sooner than later.
Yes, that would be awesome. Okay, so you do have a free resource about the Easter checklist that's on your website, adammclaughlin.net. And it's a fantastic resource. And you break it into four things as you kind of process or walk us through what you need to be doing, making sure that you're doing there. And so we're going to hit on a few of them. I don't want to give all of it away because I want people to download it themselves. But I do want them to understand, the people who are listening here, to understand that no matter where you are, whether you're 1 week away from Easter or you're a few weeks away or months away, you can still be doing certain things to get ready for Easter. So the first thing that I think it was really cool that you highlight is you have a Easter launch team meeting.
Yes.
So, you know, why is that important to do that? And who would you include in that meeting?
Yeah. So, the importance of that is it, unfortunately, for whatever reason, sometimes churches create events based on the moment. And that's cool and all that stuff. But, you know, we see Easter coming. This is not taking us by surprise. Hey. Easter is on its way. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, you get off Friday from work and, you know, the next week you're on vacation. So as you pull out of the driveway, you say to your wife, are we turning right or are we turning left? And she goes, I don't know. We haven't planned anything yet. Let's check Expedia and see where hotels are on sale. You know, you want to be planning that ahead of pulling out of the driveway for vacation, right? And so I think that there's a lot of inefficiencies that can happen when we're not planning ahead. Like, for instance, if you just start driving and you find a hotel, you may not find the best hotel, you may not find the best location, you may not find the best price. So take that analogy back to church world. There's a lot of things that become inefficient, like I don't know how many times we had to pay rush fees on something at church because we had an idea or it didn't get done in time or whatever the case might have been. So not only financial efficiencies, but also strategy for your team, like helping your volunteers understand this is what we're going to do, this is why we're going to do it, this is how we're going to execute it. You also create an efficiency with them, kind of a trust and a relationship where, yes, we actually have a game plan.
Yeah.
And so that's why the launch meeting is so important, so that we're not always going to avoid curveballs at the last minute, but we're not playing a game of curveballs at the last minute.
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. Again, that last minute, hey, we should do this. Well, if you have a launch team meeting or that just first introductory meeting where you have a lot of the stakeholders in there, I'm talking, let's get your student minister in there, your family minister in there, pastors in there, get all the people who have a say, because you don't want to plan, like, you don't want the worship people to be planning this one way to structure the service, and then you have your kids ministry wanting to do something completely different. You're not talking, you know,
right?
The more you can get them all together and talking, the more creative the ideas can be, and the more you can be working in unisons rather than silos.
Yeah, of course. You know, like, let's say you're gonna have to do an extra service on Easter Sunday morning. And so you're going to condense your services by 10 minutes. But the kids department, they've got this incredible idea, but it's going to take them an extra 20 minutes to get their service completed with this incredible idea, right? And so you really have to make sure you're on the same page. And one of the things we're going to ask in that free Easter launch checklist is, how many services are we having and at what times? Yes. So are we adding services? Are we changing services? You know, that checklist is basically created everything that you need to ask to avoid curveballs. Now, there may be some things that don't apply to your church, or there may be some things you need to add for your church, but it at least is going to get you started in the same page in the same direction.
Yep. I agree. I think it's great. A lot of great questions that you have asked. Here's one thing I want to mention. You have on there your Easter weekend attendance, and you highlight the 2 years prior, but then you say the latest year goal. Why do you want to include that on your checklist? Why is that important?
So it's an important conversation because it can play a lot of factors in order to accomplish the goal. So when teams work together, for instance, firefighters, they're putting out a fire, right? They're not having discussions about budget. They're not having discussions about, you know, where they're going to go for lunch. If there's a fire to put out, the firefighting team puts out the fire, mm-hmm. right? If there's a medical emergency, the EMS team is resolving the medical emergency. They're not having conversations about, you know, where they get their bandage suppliers from. And so what happens is when you have this really singular focus, it gets everybody on the same page. So if you say, you know, we saw a 10% growth from 2 years ago to last year, we saw a 10% growth from that year to the year before, and now we want to see another 10% growth. Okay, what does that number actually look like? And how can we all contribute to getting to that growth number? Mm-hmm. If you want to do a stretch goal, so for instance, we saw 10% growth over the last 2 years, but we want to see a 15% growth this year. Okay, well, that could really indicate that you're going to need to up your spending on Facebook budget. Mm-hmm. Or last year, the youth didn't do anything to encourage their friends to show up on Sunday morning, but this year, we're going to do a campaign specifically to help youth invite their friends. Or what are those things we're going to do together to hit that numeric goal? And the reason it has to be numeric, it can't just be quantitative, like we want more people, you know, or that will be qualitative. We want more people than last year. Okay, well, one person more than last year means you actually hit your goal, yeah. But is that a goal worth working toward? So the reason you want it quantitative is you can then go back after Easter, and this is part of the follow-up process, and you can say, did we hit our goal? And that's a binary thing, yes or no. Mm-hmm. And if we didn't, what can we do different next year in order to hit our goal? And if we did hit our goal, what did we do right this year that we can repeat next year? And without having a goal in place, you know, you could have an extra, you know, let's say you had an extra 5% of people show up on Easter than typically show up. And you go, man, that was great. That was a fuller service than normal. Yeah, but you have no way of evaluating or saying, yes, but we could have done better. And here are some of the ways. So I think setting that actual number, you know, it's not about numbers. It's about our purpose is not about numbers. Our purpose is about introducing people to Jesus. But what if you set a goal? And in reaching that goal, the number that of people that you brought into your church help more people meet Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. So at the end of the day, it's helpful to set an actual number as a goal.
Yeah, I agree. I think numbers get a bad rap. You know, everyone's like, oh, we're not numbers oriented. But the reality is you have to set a number up there to say, this is what we're striving for. And it can bring real unity amongst your team to say, we're going after this. And it's not just the senior pastor's job or the worship person's job. It's all of us working together to get people. It's a way I think you can unify your team a lot. And again, it shows that you're making progress with where you're at, not going backwards.
Yeah, and one way to consider that number is you might actually look at the number of people who come back within the first 3 weeks after Easter. Mm-hmm. And so that number actually is more important than the number of people you got through the door, right? Mm-hmm. So the worship leader might say, well, my job isn't really to get people through the door. My job is the experience when they get here. Okay, so the goal we're going to set is how many of those people come back for another trip within the first few weeks after Easter. Yes. That is something that the worship person, the production person can play an integral part in. How do we get people connected?
Yeah. No, that's great. And actually that segues very well into the other point I want to get to in your checklist. Okay, so you have four crucial points here. We just hit on one about the launch team. Now we're going to hit on the very final piece, And they're going to have to download the rest to find out your other components. But I want to talk about follow-up because I think that's really important. I think you just kind of hit on it a little bit. I believe follow-up is so important on big weekends like this. What do you say and how do you encourage that in your checklist?
Yeah, so there are things that you can do during service to get people intrigued enough to want to come back. Mm-hmm. And there are also things that you can do in a follow-up process, whether that's text, email, you mail them something. There's something integrated into the gift that you give them as a first-time guest. There are all kinds of those pieces of the puzzle that you can get to have somebody come back. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, our family went to a restaurant. And the kids, at the end of the meal, they got a toy, which was like, you know, it was probably worth about 15 cents. Like, it was this little frog that you put on the ground, and when you press it, it jumps, right? It's a little piece of plastic.
Yeah.
Right. Or like, my five-year-old picked an eraser. I'm like, you don't even use a pencil. Like, what do you need an eraser? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Next time we said to them, hey, where do you want to go for dinner? They wanted to go back to that restaurant. Yeah. Now, that wouldn't have been the reason my wife and I wanted to go back to that restaurant.
Yeah.
But different people have different reasons why they might want to go back. And yeah. So you use different approaches and different avenues to create an opportunity for people to want to come back. Yeah. And for some people, that might be community involvement, right? So they might say, hey, listen, I want to be part of an organization that's doing something. That might be Big Brothers, that might be United mm-hmm. Way, or that might be your church, if they actually see that your church is doing something, right, yeah. in the community. Now, through that process, they're going to get introduced to Jesus, but that might be different than the person who wants to come back because their teenager is kind of coming and going and humming and hawing from the church that they usually go to, but that teenager really loved being at your church, right? Mm-hmm. So that family might come back for a different reason or, you know, whatever that is. That's probably a poor example. Okay, now I'm going to get hate mail. I'm going to get hate mail because I just said maybe some family will like your church better than another church. Listen clearly. That's not what I meant to say.
I heard it.
Okay, different people come back for different reasons. That's what I'm saying. So in light of that, try multiple different avenues to help them understand who you are as a church to inform their decision about whether or not they'll be back.
Yeah, I think this is really important because, again, just like Christmas, a lot of people are coming to Easter services that have never been before. They just do, you know, as a courtesy to their mom or their dad, they come to Easter. I think you have to have something to bring them back to. That's why I think you have to be well prepared with promotional stuff about what your ministries are all about. And also, like, again, we've used the Sunday after Easter to bring in a guest speaker and mm-hmm. to say, hey, come back to here. We're right outside Washington, D.C., so there's a lot of military people here. We usually try to bring in a military speaker to come in and share with our military audience. It always gets a lot of attraction. We brought in a mobster once, a former mobster, of course, and that went over very well. In fact, one year that we did this, we actually had more people come to the follow-up weekend than to actual Easter.
Wow.
We were very well in promoting and sharing. And so I think having a great follow-up strategy is going to be really important to what you do. And you kind of walk us through that on your checklist very well.
Yeah, one of the things I really tried to do with the checklist is to create it in such a way that you can literally bring the checklist to a meeting and read each item off the checklist, mm-hmm. right? So it's not a paragraph. It's like, hey, you know, think about what you're going to do for follow-up. Yeah. No. Like the checklist is like, are we going to do X, Y, or Z? You know, what budget do we have for X? If we were to do Y, who's going to do Y? And by when will they let us know that they have a plan in place to do why? So literally you can take this and, you know, if you're old school, you could print it, which is probably what I would do because I'm kind of old school like that. And I like paper and you could print it and you could bring it to the meeting and literally read every item off the checklist and check it off and leave with a game plan for Easter.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. I love your checklist. And again, I think no matter what stage of the game you are in approaching Easter, you can still do this kind of stuff and still make an impact. The thing is you actually have to actually use this and go forth with it so that you can do it.
Yeah, sooner is better than later.
Yes.
Later isn't bad. But sooner is better than later.
Yeah, like what you talked about earlier, you're limited in your options the later you get. So the sooner that you can do this meeting, the sooner that you can get people together, the better you're going to be able to make decisions, and you're going to be able to save some money too, because you're not rushing things. So
Exactly.
Well, Adam, as always, you are a huge resource, and I'm glad I'm actually able to track you down. Are you ever going to settle, or are you going to keep on driving around?
I don't have that information, Tom. I have a lot of answers, but that's not one of them.
Well, good. Keep on going. Where is your next stop? Do you know where your next stop is yet?
Yes. So we're actually in Southern California before we came to Vegas.
Okay.
And now we're heading back into California. So we've got a couple stops there. We're going to be heading up the West Coast and then up into the West Coast of Canada.
Good. Well, as always, you can always track Adam down. He's very active on social media. What's your Twitter handle, or what, you know, Facebook or blog? I mean, whatever you want to share with us. How can people connect with you?
Well, Adam_McLaughlin on all the social medias. And if you want to get the checklist, there's something easier than spelling McLaughlin. You can even go to EasterChurchMarketing.com. And there, Ryan Holk, who I'm working with on this project, and I have outlined 6 steps to execute Easter this year. So the Easter launch checklist is step 1. I won't give away the other 6 steps, but they're all there, and they're all available for anybody who wants to visit them.
And if you missed it, just go to the show notes. I'll have all those links for you to connect with Adam, and he'll be right there with you. So that's great. Well, Adam, thanks as always. I really appreciate it.
Sounds good, Tom. Thank you for having me on.
All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Adam McLaughlin. And as we talked about, the sooner you prepare, the better it is for Easter. However, you can still be preparing and taking steps leading up to Easter. Again, if you can just get everyone together, all the stakeholders together, processing what you want to do so you can work together rather than working separately. Now, separately, you may be having some great ideas, but if you can work together, it's always a little bit better. And then you can follow up better as well. So there's some really great insights. I hope you go to his website. I hope you get the checklist. It will definitely encourage you, help you process through some things, even if it's just for your ministry, not necessarily the church as a whole, but even just for your ministry. It is a very valuable tool. So I hope you get it. So that's just what Adam and I were talking about, but I would love to hear what your thoughts are. Well, how are you preparing for Easter? How are you getting people together to work together rather than separate? And how are you effectively following up? I would love to hear your thoughts on that. So definitely get on Twitter, share it with me @TAPounder. I would love to hear your thoughts on that. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. As always, if you enjoyed the podcast, definitely go to iTunes and subscribe to it, or you can go to ymsidekick.com. I've got some cool blogs up there, the podcast, some vlogs, my Twitter ebook, and also information on Digital Bootcamp, the bootcamp for all ministers to learn digital tools to help expand their reach in ministry. It's a great group together where we all just kind of share ideas and share thoughts about, again, how we can use digital tools to expand our reach. So I hope that you discover the Digital Bootcamp Facebook group and join in today. All right, heroes. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the day, a great rest of the week. And until next time, have a great one.